Welcome to One Qi, the home of Qigong on UK Health Radio. We're a community of Qigong teachers and students exploring our similarities and embracing our differences. And here is your host, Clara Apollo.
So welcome in to another episode of your One Qi. It's time for you to take a deep breath and to settle into your being, into your presence, into your now moment, because we're here talking about Qi, your essential energy behind everything, your vitality, your guide to restfulness. I am Clara Apollo, your host. I'm also a Qigong teacher and guide on your journey of Qi. I have with me my guest from the One Qi community. So a fellow Qigong teacher, Ben Calder, is here with me. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Hi, Clara. Lovely to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Oh, you're really welcome. And we're going to be looking into the topic of Qigong and the integral health perspective. So this is Qigong as part of all the other things that we need to consider. Well, that's my interpretation. How would you describe it then, Ben?
I mean, that's exactly it. I think that we live in a society quite often that's wanting the magic bullet, the one thing that is going to make everything else okay. And from an integral health point of view, we see it as not one thing, but many things. We call them holons, whole parts. So something that is complete within itself, but is partial to a greater whole. So, and all of these holons nest into one another. And at a very basic level in integral health, we're looking at the mind and the behavior within the mind, thought processes, belief systems. We're looking at the body, its behavior, and that looks in at diet, nutrition, as well as movement and so on. We can look at culture, and that includes our relationships. And then we can look at the environment and the physical setting that we're in. So we essentially end up with a subjective and an objective of the individual and the collective. And all of these dimensions are always present with us all the time. So we can never be in a situation where our mind and our body aren't somehow in relationship to an environment and a culture.
Oh, that is so true. And thank you for putting it into like succinct context for us. And so you work in this arena. You're not just a Qigong teacher, are you? So what else do you offer with what you do?
So I've spent the last 18 years as a professional practitioner working with kinesiology primarily, but within that, I then look into body work, soft tissue manipulation. I look at integral relationships, transpersonal psychology. I look at environmental factors, allergies and toxins and all sorts of various bits. So essentially, I'm a little bit like a holistic GP that has this range of skills to be able to explore how people could improve their health and well-being and their situation in life.
So needed these days, because chronic health issues are rife, aren't they? I think there's been a quadrupling in stress since the pandemic, and I think we are all aware that stress does make any health issues worse. Have you seen this in your clinic practice?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm incredibly busy at the moment. It's surprising how many people are struggling on so many different levels. And this is why I use the integral model, because for some people, it might show up as anxiety. For some people, it might be a back pain or a digestive issue. For some people, it's relationship tensions, or they're finding that they're just really struggling in the spaces that they're in. I mean, a lot of people have been furloughed or working at home, and it's changed so many dynamics with people that they want to be able to do something, and they're not sure quite what it is they're able to do. So by using practices like Qigong, by looking at people's lifestyles, people's tools for supporting themselves, we can just look at refinement and improvement of what they're already doing that's great, and reducing the stuff that isn't so great.
I love that. I was just agreeing. I was just, because whenever I see, what are you already doing? Because sometimes we just look outside the box. I must be doing something. I need to be doing something else. Yeah. As opposed to, look, what am I already doing that is nurturing? And can you give us some examples of what that might be?
Yeah, sure. I mean, for a start off, people don't often acknowledge where they're successful. So what is it that you're already getting joy from, that you already get pleasure from, that already makes you feel better in your life? And it could be a walk with the dog. It could be, you know, playing with the children. It could be appreciating music. You could come from almost any perspective. You know, if we look at the human mind from a certain direction, its real tool is for avoiding pain. So that's its calculating process, is to avoid pain. It's not so interested in looking for pleasure. It just wants to avoid the pain. So often we come from the point of view of, I want less pain, but we don't ask the question of ourselves, what are we doing that's pleasurable? What do we do that's enjoyable? And how and where and with whom could I do more of that with? And actively planning those things in, scheduling them, choosing them, so that there is more richness, there is more pleasure, there is more joy, even if there's other stresses going on.
So, Ben, on a Qigong perspective here, because both of us being Qigong teachers, both of us been in this arena for a long time now, what was it that drew you into Qigong? Was it, did it become before the kinesiology and the other health things? So he's not nodding at me here because I can see him. We've got a video between us. So, okay, the Qigong was first. Could you explain more
absolutely
about that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes back quite a long way. I first started practicing Qigong when I was 15.
Wow.
And so I've been practicing now for over 30 years. I've had a couple of breaks in places there, but essentially it's been over 30 years now. And I was an incredibly restless teenager. I mean, if we add in another little bit, you know, September is National Suicide Awareness Month. I was a very unhappy teenager. And I was very uncomfortable with myself. As a family, we'd moved around a lot in my youth. So from a point of a view of adverse childhood experiences, there were a number of things that just left me really unsettled. So I wasn't very confident. I didn't feel very safe. And I couldn't sit still. And I happened to be at an event with my mum at that time that we had friends that were involved in. And there was a guy there called Ben. And I sometimes wonder if I've seen a deja vu of myself kind of years in the future. He was in his 70s and he was just teaching very, very simple Qigong and getting people to stand and do breathing. And, you know, being this kind of restless, couldn't ever let my mind settle kind of young person, I was really interested because I could feel the peace emanating from where he was and people that were stood with him. So, you know, he introduced me to Zhangzhong. He introduced me to standing. And I'm going to make a national confession here. I then went to my local library where they had Master Lam Kan Chuen's The Way of Energy, classic text on standing and the eight pieces of brocade. And I stole it from the library. And I then just started playing with it. And I found that those standing postures, although I was really resistant, I mean, man, I just all the time, my mind was just get away, just move, just, you know, which again, when there's anxiety in the past, when there's trauma in the past, the body often doesn't want to stop because it feels too vulnerable. So just teaching myself to stay present and realize that the threat was not in the room, that I could be vulnerable and safe at the same time. Wow. And so that's what started developing my Qigong practice. And it just went on from there, really.
Oh, wow. I so get this. I've just had some feedback from one of my students on the wisdom training course at the moment, because I deliver a lot of my sessions online that I know you do and a lot of our other teachers do. And she said that it got to a point in the replay where we were standing like a tree, Zhangzhong, and apparently it froze. And she said, it was amazing because she could see me on the screen, just not flinching, not doing anything. She goes, wow, she's got one going on. But actually, it froze for 45 minutes, but she stayed with it. And it took her on such a journey that she wouldn't have gone on otherwise, because there's a lot of richness in this standing on purpose, isn't there? There's
really.
And unless you do it, you can't know it. I mean, I remember when I was in my early 30s when I first came to Qigong after being a costume designer, and the idea of standing still, my shoulders were not having that. My lower back didn't like it. But you know what? The more you do it, you unwind those tensions of like, I've got to move, into what would happen if I did notice that the ground beneath me was holding me and notice that my internal architecture was there to support me. And it helped me become more mindful of the now moment.
Yeah.
This was like in the mid-90s. I hadn't even heard of mindfulness, but Qigong certainly introduced me to the mindfulness and started to expand the present moment, which then I've now find utterly fascinating how deep and rich it is. So
absolutely. And I had a really interesting experience about 16 years ago when I was doing a meditation and I was trying to work, you know, I was in one of these points where I felt really stuck and I was trying to work out what I needed next. And in one of those moments that for me doesn't happen like this very often, this huge booming voice came into my head and went, "You need to study the trees, Ben." And I had this massive kind of insight that depth of grounding was what supported growth. Without the roots, without that willingness to be centered, to be grounded, to be stable, then any upward growth was going to be fragile. So the deeper that I could ground and secure myself, the easier it was going to be to support growth and development within me. And that's been a real kind of key throughout my life since then, that you've got to look at how your stability is if you want to grow.
Spot on. Ben Kohler is here with me on One Qi, here on UK Health Radio, and we're talking about Qigong and the integral health perspective, but we're particularly talking about Qigong because that's what we love. But so right, this grounding, this earthing, and the deeper you go, I mean, it's central to all of our practices. And within our One Qi community, there are certain areas that we all agree on. And I think this is one of the key facts of. And I don't think you can't talk about grounding. You have to kind of experience it. And as you say, using the tree as an analogy and to connect in with, it's not just about hugging a tree, it's deepening into the earth like a tree.
Yeah. And the other aspect of that I think a lot of people miss in their concepts of grounding, they think about just going down. They think about putting roots in. What they're missing from grounding is the receiving of the energy from the earth, because it's when you've got that energy coming up that actually the system is then truly grounded, because it's open. It's allowing the energy of the earth to support it. And I don't know if you find it, but I find with a lot of students when they're struggling, especially with discomfort in the lower back, part of what they're doing is they're gripping the feet.
The toes,
and they're not really allowing that softening and that release down into the earth that would then allow them to feel the support of the earth. Because no matter what we do, the earth is going to support what we do. Even if we're lying down, it'll support it.
Oh, if you're lying down, you get a really large surface area, don't you? But this is a really key point that we have here, talking about the earth element relationship. Is that the more we can connect down and ground, the more our energy channels open to discharge the old tension, anxiety, fear, which are instantly composted into the earth. You have to send them a long, long way down. But we then create this space, and this spaciousness within attracts the new fresh vitality from the surface of the earth. And so, as you say, there it comes up for us to feel even more of the support. So the down produces the up and the steadiness. And it's like that, the more you let go down, the more the earth can come up and meet you, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we've got that really interesting energy exchange, core of the earth being magnetic, drawing in, but the magma radiates up. So you've got this constant polarity, an exchange of energies taking place, that when you can allow that magnetism of the core to draw you down, the radiance of all of that bubbling energy coming up from the center is then infused up into the body. It's beautiful.
We are really excited here. This is the sort of things we love talking about and offering to people to have experiences of as well, because when you get it, something shifts within you. You get levels and layers of relaxation that you might not have experienced for quite some time. And most people will then report back on having really good night's sleep and being able to manage things better.
Absolutely.
And so it's really essential. But anyway, here on your One Qi Time with me, Clara Apollo, here with Ben Kohler, we are going to go to a track, and Ben has chosen something. Well, he chose a genre and then I chose the track. So could you introduce for us the genre, and then I will tell us what chat we got.
Yeah, sure. And again, inspired by my teacher, my brother Cy Calder, who founded Life Force Qigong, one of the things he's played when we train, and one of the things, if I use music in my classes, I like to use, is hang music. So the beautiful hang drums and the soft sounds that you can get with those. So I love listening to that. Whenever I hear it, it takes me straight back into that qi space of training with my teacher, my brother.
Oh, bless you. And as soon as you mentioned the hang, I thought of our dear friends Hang Massive. I say dear friends, I put them on as an event, so when I was running events, but also they've been on Qi Time, my other show, and I just adore how you experience yourself when you listen to this sort of these soft deep tones. And I think it helps us connect more and more with the earth and with ourselves and with the peace inside. So here is The Secret Kissing of the Sun and Moon off the album Luminous Emptiness by Hang Massive. Enjoy. Thank you. this sublime track is The Secret Kissing of the Sun and Moon by Hang Massive from their Luminous Emptiness album. And it was chosen here by me, but inspired by my guest here, Ben Calder, whom we're talking about the integral health perspective of Qigong, the different aspects of taking care of yourself. And just before this amazing track, sorry, I'm just really loving this so much. Woo! Anyway, back in. We were talking about the earth element, and both of us clearly very passionate about that connection. And for you to honor that, the earth supporting you in everything that you do. And of course, the earth also grows our food and of course the trees and all the other plants. But talking about food and this connection of our diet with our Qigong, the true nourishment of life and the energetics, but also this physical taking on of food. What would you like to say about that, Ben?
It's really interesting that a lot of people have got a disconnect with their bodies. So when we look at our nervous system, we have our enteric nervous system that deals with all of our internal organs. And it's the feedback from our internal organs, and especially our organs of digestion. And a lot of people who are struggling with their practice, their bodies are aching, there's agitation in the mind. Rarely do we think about how the parts and the fuel that have gone into the vehicle have caused the friction. So when we're practicing, it's more important than we realize to pay attention to the diet. And again, if you look into Chinese medicine as a branch of medicine, we know that Qigong is a traditional branch within Chinese medicine, but so are dietetics, so yes. is nutrition, because they understand that implicit relationship between the vehicle being properly fueled and being appropriately resourced with parts, and the difference that that would make when that is not there. So for people that are struggling with their Qigong, if they're finding there are elements of their practice that are challenging, they've got old injuries that keep on flaring up, the question is, what are you putting in your mouth that is still driving that? What's the systemic inflammation that you're creating because your body is struggling with a thing? So some of that rising liver qi, that irritation, that frustration, how much of that anxiety in the system, how much of that lack of grounding is due to the fact that there's friction and disturbance within the digestion? And if we regulate that, you know, how does that change the practice for us?
It's a really big topic as well, because the nutritional quality of our foods is said to have been declining a lot since the 1950s due to intensive farming and the overuse of pesticides. And so hence the need to use supplements. So yes, to get, you know, I mean, we've heard it haven't before. We know this, to eat local, organic and fresh. Yep. Plant-based, if you are going to eat animal protein, to have it local, organic and fresh. Yep. Yep. Not wrapped in any plastic, if at all possible. So anything that has been mass produced, to just stay well away from. But, you know, I think that this is this reteaching. There's this kind of fast food culture. There's like just wanting to grab something on the run because you haven't got much time. So, I mean, this is all very, very linked to the earth element, isn't it, Ben? Because when we sink into the earth, we create space, and that spaciousness gives us the nourishment from the earth. But it also gives us space to think, what do I actually need? Not what do I want? What do I need? And when you come to food, it's a very personal choice, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And again, there's so much emotion involved within food as well, because of how we've used it to support ourselves in different ways, often unconsciously. And I kind of joke with my Qigong students that Qigong is to exercise the same as the slow food revolution is to restaurants, in the fact that we're really changing the emphasis on what we're doing and why, so that we get a different result out of it. And just from the simple analogy of rubbish in, rubbish out. So if you really want the system to work as well as it can be, and I love using a vehicle analogy with this, in that, you know, if we had a really expensive car, like obscenely expensive, we wouldn't put cheap fuel in it. We wouldn't put cheap parts in it. We would regularly service it. And as the consciousness, we would become a better driver. So I say to my students, my clients, you are the obscenely expensive car. I cannot afford to replace you. So how often are the quality of the parts, the quality of the fuel, the regularity of the servicing, and the consciousness at which you drive that vehicle. How are they at the best they can be? And what else could you do to refine that? Which is often what I'm then doing with clients, to explore how they could just improve that situation within their lives. So even when they're doing their practice, if they've eaten the right foods, they'll notice the lightness and the freedom in the body, which is different than they were on their old diets. And I find as well, it's a two-way street. When they start doing the Qigong and the practice starts changing their body, the inclination to want to do the better diet is increased. And when they start increasing that improvement in the diet, the ease and the joy that they receive from the movement practices is increased.
So it's the chicken or the egg, or the chi kin of the egg. What are you going to do first? Well, I think this is why it's good to come into, you learned from a book because you were really inspired, but it was the person at the festival that,
yeah,
old Ben, that, yeah, inspired you in. So it is often, and you find that people are drawn to our energies. I want a bit of what you've got, and then, yeah, we can help them find that within themselves, because we are here to help people find their Qigong. It's, yes, not about my way or, you know, it's not my way or the highway. It's your way, the Qi way. And, yeah. And when it comes to like eating and practice as well, it's important not to have a full stomach when you're doing your practice. Yep. And that's, yep, because the energy from digestion is then takes it away from the flow of energy around. So there's some protocols that you can bring mindfully in. And I don't know about you, but I started to get interested in intermittent fasting about a year and a half ago, and it's really shifted for me. Have you got something you'd, yeah, like to share with us about that?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think with diet, one of the things that's really important is we've got to find our unique path in that. Because even if you have siblings raised in the same family, what I class as the set point or the start point for each child is different. Because, right, where the parents were when they conceived the first child is not where they are when they conceive the second child, and so on. So we actually have to refine individually for ourselves. And this also kind of carries on from something that you were talking about just a moment ago, that the value of having a teacher to learn from. It's not about the practitioner of Qigong copying what the teacher does. It's this interaction between the two. So as a teacher, when I see a student, they will be moving in a particular way, and I can talk to them and ask them questions about where they're feeling challenged in the practice. And I can use that to say, well, what's happening at this level of your life? How is this for you? You know, did you eat just before the class? Have you hydrated well enough? How are you sleeping? And we can use that as a way. And this is why this integral model is so important for me, because I know it's not just a magic bullet. Qigong isn't going to cure all unless we look at all that is there to be cured, you know. And so we are really, and we're going back to this old adage of, you know, everything becomes the meditation once I understand the purpose of the meditation. So, you know, we're kind of stepping into, so my dietics becomes Qigong, my relationships become Qigong, my own mental practice becomes Qigong, because there's at no point where I am not dancing in that sea of Qi.
Absolutely. Ben Calder is here with me on One Qi on UK Health Radio. We're talking about Qigong and the integral health perspective. This is a rich conversation. Thank you so much. And it's reminding me, of when Peter Dedman was in, the author of Live Well, Live Long, and he was talking about the four legs of a chair principle, where we need to take care of the mind and emotions, diet, exercise and sleep. And that these affect all areas of our life at whatever age we are. And we need to harmonize them all, because to focus on one actually depletes the others. We need to have this overview of them all, don't we?
Absolutely. And it's a real challenge. I think we're so used to having this magic bullet idea. All you have to do is this and everything else will be fine. You know, it's almost the Cinderella trick, isn't it? You know, they lived happily ever after. There was only one thing that needed to happen and it's all good. But we're in this constant state of flux. So even if in our mind and our body and our personal environment, our homes and our families, we have consistency, there is constant change taking place in the cosmos around us, even if that's just from a seasonal point of view. So I don't want to have my salads in the winter. I don't want to have my really hot, spicy food in the summer. I have to keep adapting and adjusting. So Qigong is true mindfulness in where am I today? Where am I right now? What is the adjustment that I need to make that will, you know, again, refine, that will just bring me into an even better state of health? How does it get better than this? You know, what else is possible with me if I just tune in and go, okay, is it posture I need to adjust? Do I need to hydrate? Do I need to communicate with a loved one? What is it that I need to adjust in there? So the Qigong mindset can be expanded into all these spheres of our life, and we can interact through all of them with Qigong.
So I'm just wondering about listening there, thinking, well, I've got such a busy life. I haven't got time to think about all this. Well, both Ben and I are pretty busy people too. Yeah. And we come from a history of having a lot of things to do. And it's, I don't know about you, but my Qigong saved me pretty much from myself, actually. It gives me a place inside to come back to, like time and again. And every time you come back into that peaceful breath and the connection of the heaven and earth through you, come into that standing, even if it's only for 5 minutes, you regroup with yourself. You give yourself your time, your energy and your space. And I feel that that is a massive thing to offer yourself. And with a nice healthy glass of spring water, you know, that to me is a very simple directive. That's what's helped me just come into standing, maybe look at nature, drink water and just breathe for 5 minutes with myself.
Yeah.
And a lot can go on in that 5 minutes, can't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the problems that people often have is they tell themselves that they don't have time. And again, this comes back to acknowledging the successes. Where is it that you could use time differently so you don't need any more time? So, for example, if I am doing a call, I could stand while I do the call. You know, if I'm in a queue, I could realign myself and breathe. If I'm in traffic, I can breathe. And again, for anybody that's like learned things like their microcosmic orbit, their macrocosmic orbit within their Qigong practices, you can circulate energy. So it's taking a small thing. Like one of the blocks I had to meditation years ago is that I wouldn't believe that I could sit for X amount of time. So what I did was I made myself a deal in that I agreed that I would surrender to sitting for 1 minute. And that's all I agreed to. And then what I was able to do was easily sit for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes, because 1 minute's over so quick. And by the time I was on my mat, it was fine, you know, but I've only got to stay there for 1 minute. And then at any point after that minute, if I felt agitated or I didn't want to be there, I would just stop.
Yeah.
So I started to build in this practice of 1 good minute was better than 5 bad minutes. So I would just give myself 1 minute at a time. And anytime I wanted to stop, I would just stop. And there was never any judgment, never any criticism. And, you know, over the years, for example, I've asked clients about how long it takes them to do a certain thing that they wish they were doing more of. And more often than not, it's 30 minutes to an hour. You know, often things are that long. So I said, well, how long does it take you to do like one yoga posture or one Qigong move? Oh, I could do that in 30 seconds. I could do that in 2 minutes. Great. Let's stand up and do it now.
Yeah.
So we would do the movement, whatever it was. And I would go, well done. You just successfully did your practice for today.
Yes.
You know? So we learn this through integral life practice that we can scale any practice down. And even if we just do it for 1 minute a day, we can then successfully tell ourselves, I did the practice. And then when I have more space or I allow myself to do more, I can just allow it to expand into other areas of my life as well.
Oh, I love it. That's such good advice, to notice what you do. And to acknowledge that and to almost praise yourself. I did my practice, not go, yeah. I should have done more. How many of us think I should do more? Well, for a start, there's that should word gone. I could do more, but I'm just going to do what I can right now and I'm going to feel good about it.
Yeah.
And that of course, produces the biochemistry that enhances ourselves and produces this repetition behavior. That means you're going to go back and do it again. And every time you come back and do your practice again, you make that connection stronger and deeper and more yours.
Yeah. I mean, I've even been laying in bed at night, light out, ready to go to sleep, and I've done healing sounds or an inner smile or something.
Yes,
and then
yes.
before I fall asleep, I go, I did it.
Yay!
And then that's it. Go to sleep and I know it.
And when just before you go to sleep, whatever you do just before you go to sleep, that informs your dream time, doesn't it? So that's
Yep.
a really good practice. And the healing smile or the healing. Yeah, the inner smile or the healing sounds, my
Yeah.
favorites as well.
Excellent.
And talking of healing sounds, we're going to play out with an absolutely delicious track that Ben has chosen. But just before he introduces us to that, could you let people know how they can get in touch with you and where they can find out more about what you do and where you are?
Yeah, thanks. The easiest place to find me is on my website, bencalder.co.uk, and that's C-A-L-D-E-R for the Calder. And you can also find me on Facebook, Ben Calder Integral Health, on Instagram, Ben G Calder, on Twitter, Ben G Calder, in LinkedIn, Ben Calder Integral Health. So there's just put my name in somewhere and it'll come up with something.
Brilliant. And thank you so much for being part of One Chi here today. It's been fascinating and good fun speaking with you.
Thanks, Clara. A real pleasure for me as well. Thank you.
Aww. And to you listening, thank you so much for listening to another episode of One Chi. This is an absolute classic example of how the One Chi community, the hub of Qigong teachers, really flow together beautifully, because this is how Ben and I met. And if you'd like to find out more about One Chi, head over to onechi.org or see our YouTube channel, One Chi, that's spelled O-N-E-Q-I. And if you'd like to find out more about what I get up to, head over to my Facebook page, The Qiki Temple, that's Q-I-K-I Temple, or my YouTube channel, Qi Time TV, Clara Apollo's Qi Time TV, where I spell it C-H-I there. And there's also my website, clarapollo.com. And this episode will be going out over the equinox time. So we're, oh my goodness, we're heading towards the autumn, aren't we?
Yeah.
So just being with harmony and balance and being in peace will serve you so well. It's the simple things that can make the most difference, in my humble opinion. So go easy on yourself, be mindful, and be the chi you want to see in the world. Ben, what have you got to play for us?
So you asked me for an extraordinary remix, which I thought was a great idea. So one of my favorite mantras is the Gayatri mantra. And one of my favorite remixes of that is done by Deva Pramal and Mitten. And it's just a beautiful version of the short version of the Gayatri mantra. And I've listened to this for more hours than I would care to believe. So it's a beautiful track. I really hope you will enjoy it.
And I think this is one of my favourites too, although I've not heard this remix, so thank you for letting us have this as part of the show. But I think music is one of the ways of bringing us into peaceful, parasympathetic, out of busy beta, into chilled out alpha. It helps us be who we truly are. So enjoy this, and thank you again, Ben.
Thanks, Clara.
Welcome. Here's Deva Pramal and Mitten with Gayatri Mantra. See you next time.
Tuvarehiniam, Pargune Vasya. Savitur vare.